You can't have too much of a good thing. So let's sing a song of praise to call down the anointing of God on myself to speak his word and upon yourselves to hear the word of God without any fear at all in your hearts. Well, recently I was on a trip. Rather usual thing for me. And I was staying at a home, and on one of the walls, they had one of these posters you see in so many Christian bookstores. And this poster had a very happy-looking dog taking a leap of absolute abandonment into what looked pretty much like the very middle of the Mississippi River. And the words on the poster were, "I don't know where I'm going, but I'm going." Now, when I look at who's on this stage, these men of God, these men of holiness, when I look at you, leaders of some 40 different Christian communities all over the nation, I'm standing here feeling very much like that pup. I don't know where I'm going, but in the Holy Spirit, I'm going. Praise the Lord. I wouldn't say that they gave me an easy job. I have to give tonight what I would call a tough talk. My job, the way I understand it, is to disturb you. To make absolutely certain that when I'm done, not one of you is feeling comfortable. My job is to tell every single one of you, and myself included, that we all still have a long way to go. Matthew 5:48. In a word, you must be made perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Well, how far are we still from the perfection of God? Learn from me, Jesus says, for I am meek and humble of heart. How much do we still have to learn from Jesus about meekness and humility and dozens of other ideals of the Christian life? Philippians 2:15. Prove yourselves innocent and straightforward, children of God beyond reproach, in the midst of a twisted and depraved generation, among whom you shine like the stars in the sky. Well, how many are looking at us and seeing us shine that brightly with holiness before the eyes of today's twisted and depraved generation? Holiness is the only proof that there is that the lives we are living are a success. No matter what else we are succeeding at, none of us can call ourselves a success unless we are saints of God. Every other kind of success is optional. Someone going for this kind of success, someone else going for this other kind of success. Sanctity is the one success that every child of God, every human being on earth must attain. Every single one of us must attain a success that will allow us one day to stand in the presence of God, to contemplate the holiness that is God and live. Otherwise, our lives, no matter what else we accomplish, our lives have been a failure. Word of God, Hebrews 12, 14, 29. Strive for that holiness without which no one can see God. Psalm 24. Who can ascend the mountain of the Lord? Or who can stand in his holy place? He whose hands are sinless, whose heart is clean, who desires not what is vain. Matthew 5:20. I tell you, unless your holiness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall not enter the kingdom of God. Okay now. Am I disturbing you yet? If not, I'm in big trouble. I'm not doing the job they gave me, and they'll probably end up billing me for my own hotel room. Now, physiologically, sometimes we can encounter someone who has what they describe to be a hormonal deficiency that stunts his growth. We call that beloved person of God suffering this specific cross a midget or a dwarf. Now, one of the greatest weaknesses, one of the greatest weaknesses in the Church of God today is that there are too many midgets, too many spiritual dwarfs who perhaps can make a big noise but cannot give the witness of spiritual giants, who cannot give the witnesses of saints of God. Now here's a mistake that's sometimes made. Any spiritual birth, whether it's the birth we call baptism or the rebirth that we call being born again, only produces spiritual infants. There is no birth that produces anything but an infant. Now, those born or reborn in this way can themselves be so amazed by the wonder of coming alive in Christ that they could reach the false conclusion that they are already fully grown Christians. But they're only babies. And after their birth or rebirth, they must enter upon a process of constant and continuing growth that will bring them together with their brother and sister Christians to the full stature of Jesus Christ. and reaching that full stature is the only thing that we are allowed to call being normal. Being normal in the life of Christ, being normal Christians, not dwarfs. Only normal-sized Christians, only saints, get into heaven. Now, a very important question to ask is, how holy am I? But there's an even more practical question to ask, and the question is, am I growing holier? How have I grown in holiness during the past year, month, week, day, hour of my life? It is only the answer to that question that tells me the value, the true value of the last day, month, week, not as weak as my voice. It'll be back in a moment. Hour or day that I have lived. There is no standing still in holiness. Holiness is not a staircase. It's an escalator. And if I'm not going up, I'm running back down very fast. Any holiness not increasing is a holiness disappearing. If you're in an airplane, you can hold a nice cruising level. You can't do that in the Christian life. There's only one way to be going to God, and that's by going up. Constantly. Now, this is the first reason why I thank God Almighty for my own baptism in the Holy Spirit 15 years ago. Because when that Spirit of God touched me, I began to grow again. And there is no thought that frightens me more than to wonder where I would be today if God hadn't touched me and turned me around 15 years ago. But remember, even that is only a start. It does not instantaneously produce all the spiritual perfection that God demands and expects of me. To reach sanctity, I still have to do a lot of growing in faith. I need a faith that moves mountains. I have to do a lot of growing in hope. I need a hope that takes away all fear from my heart. I have to do a growing in love so that I'm truly dead to myself in the way I give myself to you. I have to do a growing in prayer so that I am utterly constant and faithful. I have to do a growing in patience so that I never hurt you or anyone else on God's earth. I have to do a growing in purity so that even my thoughts are utterly, totally, and always immaculate. I have to do a growing in humility so that when someone meets me, they meet the humility of Jesus himself. I have to do a growing in detachment so that the vice of materialism has no place in the simplicity of my heart. I have to do a growing in self-control so that in no aspect whatever of my living does the devil have a domination over me. I have to do a growing in unselfish kindness so that I am always considerate of others. All right, now, how do I grow in holiness? What I say here now is not a teaching. I'm not attempting to teach you, because these are the things that you are always teaching to others. All that I am doing is proclaiming a need for all of us to put into practice in our own lives everything that we know to be the truth and teaching of Jesus Christ. Thank you for clapping so that I had a chance to blow my nose. Number one, brothers, sisters, number one, faithfulness in a life of prayer. Otherwise, listen to how strong this is. I am guilty by implication of the heresy of Pelagianism. A few years ago, I did an interview with the personal theologian of Pope John the 23rd at the first sections of Vatican II. He told me about a private conversation with the Pope, and the Pope said the greatest danger in the church today is a new Pelagianism. Then the theologian said, I agree with him. So I agreed with the theologian. And then I went to the library to find out what Pelagianism was. And when I read it, I said, he's really right. A denial of the supernatural. A proclamation that man has an inner perfection he can perfect, save himself. A denial of original sin. When I'm not praying, I'm acting as if I don't need God. When I'm not praying, I'm saying, hey, God, I'll do this for you. But the life of a Christian and the mission of a Christian are supernatural, which translated means humanly impossible, something that only God can do. Only God can make me a saint. growth in holiness. Now we read this about Jesus. Jesus, for his part, now Jesus as man, progressed steadily, constantly, in wisdom and age and grace, holiness, before God and man. But how many scriptures like Mark 1:35 do we read about Christ? This Jesus, always growing as man, more and more holy, until finally he reaches the sublime holiness of giving his life for us in love by hanging on a cross. How many times do we read expressions like this about that Jesus growing in holiness? Rising early the next morning, he went off to a lonely place, and there I have to say, watch out now, it starts getting tough. We must pray. There's no other way to be a saint. A prayer of absolute abandonment to the will of God. Nothing less is enough. This is what our prayer must be. Jesus, whatever it takes, whatever it costs, make me a saint. I set you absolutely free. If you put a condition in it, you're not saying the prayer. If you have one if in it, one but, one maybe, you're not praying this prayer. Jesus, I set you absolutely free to do whatever needs doing to break the chains and overcome the obstacles, including the obstacle of my own self-will, in order to put me solidly on the road to holiness. And this prayer has a special application to sin. Jesus, you are free. Now, he's not free till we say this prayer. Because the Father made us free, and he didn't send Jesus to take that freedom away. So Jesus is free when we pray this prayer, not until we pray it. Jesus, you are free to do whatever has to be done to free me from the slavery of sin, even sinning only in my thoughts. And Jesus, to give an example, if my sin is pride, and that's what needs doing, you are free to humiliate me, to do whatever needs doing to make me free with the freedom of a child of God. Number three now is an effort to discern God's will, essential to our growth in holiness. We don't get to be saints doing it Frank Sinatra's way, our way. We only get to be saints doing it God's way. Now, what I believe we do is first we pray that prayer of abandonment. Jesus, you're the Savior. Here I am, your handiwork. Work your work in me. And then we find out what God's will is in our lives. How? After saying that prayer, by waiting patiently. Now, here's a job the modern world doesn't like, waiting. We like doing. But what we said is, Jesus, you do it. I can't do it. Now we wait patiently with an unconditional heart and outstretched arms for whatever He, God Almighty, chooses to do in us, chooses to do with us, for wherever He chooses to send us, for whatever way He chooses to change us, for whatever tasks and responsibilities and obligations He chooses to add to our lives. And we wait also for whatever He chooses to take away from us. And no matter how He wants to use us, no matter what comes along as we wait, we simply continue to say yes to His will. A yes like the yes of Abraham. I love that translation. When God calls Abraham, the translation only uses one word, and Abraham says, ready. Ready, and he was ready, even for the giving of his only son. A yes like the yes of Moses that sent him for 40 years into a desert. A yes like the yes of Samuel who said, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. A yes like the yes of Mary who said, I am only the slave of the Lord. Do with me according to your will. And more than anything else, a yes must come from our hearts, like the yes of Jesus Christ, which was a yes even to death, a death on a cross. Then after saying that yes, what we do is stay prayerfully alert, prayerfully alert, as God takes His action that reveals His purposes in our lives. A life of holiness, in other words, is a life of action and passion. Just the way the life of Jesus was a life of action. The works that He accomplished. And passion. The things that were done to Him according to the will of the Father. We must offer God not only our actions to become saints, but we must together submit the control of our lives to the sovereign will of God Almighty. Number four, to become saints, we must have brotherly, sisterly support. There is absolutely not one single Christian who has ever lived or will ever live who has been called by God to become a saint all by himself. Brothers and sisters, that's what this meeting here is all about. We are the one body of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, learn from me, I'm humble. And humility tells us that we need each other. Now, if somebody here doesn't think that he needs the help of others, then what's he running around for giving help to others? Where is the great saint of God who ever did it on his own? St. Paul needed an Ananias. That paralytic needed four friends who placed him at the feet of Christ. And we need others with whom we can share our weaknesses and strengths. Others that will confirm and appreciate us, listen to us. Here's a hard one. Correct us and give us good advice even when we don't want it. Word of God. If someone is detected in sin, Galatians 6:1, you who live by the Spirit should gently set him right. Each of you trying to avoid falling into temptation himself. Proverbs. Reprove a wise man and he will love you. Instruct a wise man and he will become still wiser. Teach a just man and he will advance in learning. He who loves correction loves knowledge, but he who hates reproof is foolish, and I'll add, he won't grow in holiness. And the final one, dear brothers and sisters, very simple, very practical, in today's world, avoid the junk. Now, Jesus says, if your eye scandalizes you, pluck it out. If your hand scandalizes you, cut it off. So now what do you do with cable TV? And I'm not sure what the junkiest part of that stuff is. Some will say the sex. Some will say the violence. I put in a vote for the materialism. The lifestyles, God help us, of the rich and famous. And the junk comes in the forms of the books, the magazines, making us lightheaded. You know, your brain can only handle so much thinking. And if you fill it with the junk thoughts, the junk images, the glorious thoughts, the wonder of the reality of the goodness and glory of God won't find a place. What we need is opportunities to think about, pray about, and talk about the wonders of God. Dear brothers and sisters, God has called us to be saints, nothing less. He invites us to the wedding feast. And as someone said, the invitation comes RSVP. And the response that says, hey God, I'm coming, is our holiness. Now last night we had an enthralling talk about signs and wonders. And we were told correctly and biblically and with power that we must be instruments of God in the working of signs and wonders. I want to go beyond that now. To evangelize, to convert this pagan world, we have to be more than workers of signs and wonders. In our holiness, we must be the sign. We must be the wonder. Praise God. Praise God. This world needs saints more than it needs a cure for cancer. It's more than anything else. All of these blessings depend upon whether or not God Almighty can find his saints on this earth. Can he find 50? Can he find 40? Can he find 30? Can he find 10? How about 7,000?